And I'm going to pray for us. We're going to get into God's word. God, we want to thank you for the power of your word. We believe that your word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to dividing the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. And God, we pray that as we gather this morning, that you, the living God, would speak to us through your word. And that God, as you do that, I pray that it would be as nourishing to us as our daily bread. I pray that it will be like a lamp to our feet, a light for our paths. We're here because we want to hear from you, our God, our Father. And you've called us friends. Speak, God, your servants are listening. And everyone present said, fantastic. I wanna welcome you to the fourth week of our Purpose Driven Life series. And this for a 40-day period, we are we're synergizing in three areas. The first is a daily reading, that's based on the Purpose Driven Life book. And I know that some of you are behind on that. I'm a little bit behind too. But man, every day I get into it, it is such a blessing, and I do commend it to you. And the second aspect, so the first thing is this book that we're reading through together, a small amount to read every day. The second thing is purpose groups. And man, there's a WhatsApp group for these purpose group leaders, and they are absolutely pumping. Tash and I were at the Kiambu purpose group, and just hearing the story. Was that the best Kiambu could do? Because that's a really fun time. And Jessica and Taylor were leading it. And just hearing the stories and hearing people sharing their lives. And someone saying, I had a tough week. And other people sharing, you know, I've always wondered about this. And other people saying, you know, I've heard God speaking to me about that. I just looked around and I thought, man, I'm not sure that it gets better than this. If you're not yet in a purpose group, I want to encourage you, it's not too late. Get into a purpose group. We'll touch on that this morning. So the first thing is the daily readings in the book. The second thing is getting weekly together into one of our purpose groups. We've got 10 or 12 purpose groups scattered around the city. And the third aspect is the Sunday messages. And a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about our first calling in life, which isn't actually to do something, but it's to receive something. It's to receive God's love. Our first calling is to be loved by God. And then last week, I couldn't be here, but Calvin did a superb job of explaining to us how every single one of us, God's plan for us is to belong in his family. And that's expressed through local churches like One Tribe and Karura Chapel and CTAM and many wonderful local expressions in Nairobi of God's great big global family. And this week, we want to talk about our third calling, if you like, our third purpose. And to do that, kind of like our series verse so far, is Romans 8 verse 28. Key verses are up on the screen. If you haven't got a Bible, you can read on the screen. If you got your Bible, hopefully you're there already. But the Bible says this, and we know that in all things God works for the good. In all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called, there's that word, according to his purpose. Calling and purpose go together. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. If you write in your Bibles, it's probably a good thing, and you can circle those words, conformed to the likeness of his son. What has God called you to? God has called you and I to be conformed to the likeness of his son. God has called you and I to become like Jesus. God's plan for everyone who can hear the sound of my voice. His best for you is the first thing is that you would be loved. You know that the creator of the universe made you and loves you and has a plan for you. The second thing he wants all of us to know is that he's called us to belong to a family where we're nurtured and we don't go through things like having babies or losing family members or tough times at work. We don't go through those together, but we go through those with a spiritual family to which we belong. And we're also called, this is so important, God has called you and I to become like Jesus. It's just funny how, you know, you put together these things, and I just realized yesterday that, did you know that there's a book that's just been released called Becoming by Michelle Obama? You like that? Would you like to come up and share from the book? No, it's okay. We're going to hear from God's word. But it's a topical thing. What are you becoming? When you were young, what did you want to become? God has called every one of us to become like Jesus. And the Christian life is actually all about becoming like Jesus on a journey from where we were when he found us to being like Jesus. And the Bible describes this journey as being not so much like a Sunday stroll. You know, I've been pastoring for about 16 years, and about every Sunday my family will tell you, we'll be driving to church, we'll be a little bit behind time, and there is someone on a Sunday morning drive. And I'm like, look, Sunday morning for you may be a kind of stroll through life, but I actually have stuff to do and a place to get to, so get off the road. But I say it in a much more pastorly and Christian way. But the Christian life isn't so much a stroll, but one of the metaphors that we see in the Bible is that the Christian life, the process of becoming like Jesus, is a lot like a race. And so what we're going to do is we're going to spend most of our time in Hebrews 12, which talks about a race, and Corinthians and a couple of other verses. But we want to take this concept of a race and see how it applies to our journey of becoming like Jesus. And I'm going to pull out, we haven't got much time, so if I go a little bit quickly, please forgive me. But the first thing that we need to do, I'm going to pull out 8 things if God helps us. And the first thing we're going to talk about is that in our race, as we run our race, one of the things we've got to do is, number one, simplify my life. Where did we get that from? Hebrews 12, verse 1, fantastic verse. Went back to Zimbabwe a couple of weeks ago, and God laid this verse on my heart to preach to a gathering of churches there. Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, picture, if you like, the Olympic Games, a stadium full of people. Who are they? You've got to read for yourself in chapter 11. But the writer to the Hebrews, he says, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, team, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Every time I've heard this verse preached on, everyone says, you see two things in there. You see everything that hinders, and you see the sin that so easily entangles. And that means that everything that hinders isn't necessarily just sin, but it's other things. And in the times, in biblical times, how many of you have watched professional, like, Olympics, 100 meters, races like that? You've seen that on TV? Have you seen how they're dressed? It's kind of like, you know, they aren't wearing jackets and jeans, but they're wearing this kind of like streamlined aerodynamic clothing. Well, in biblical times, they went a step further. If they were running in the race, they would run stark naked. I'm going to let that mental image sit with you for a moment, because that's a picture of throwing off not just sins, not just bad things, but anything that could slow you down in this race that you and I have been called to run in becoming like Jesus. I think it was one of the British prime ministers. He said, when I became prime minister, I had to give up 2 things: gambling and the violin. Now, gambling, we understand. Well, some of you, you don't want to talk about gambling. We're going to preach on gambling and betting another time, not today. You have to give up gambling and the violin. I understand you're giving up gambling. Why give up the violin? Well, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but if it's going to hinder me from what I'm called to, then I've got to give it up. There may be relations that you need to get out of, not because they're sinful relationships, but because they're slowing you down in the race God has called you to run. They're slowing you down in becoming like Jesus and getting to know him better and being known by him and serving in the church and being a part of God's mission in the world. Some of us need to clean out our schedules. Here's a challenge to you, not in my notes. But if you're thinking about the ministry fair next week and you're thinking, I'd like to sign up, but I'm too busy, here's my challenge to you. Then you may need to adjust your schedule. If it's true that God has called all of us to serve in his family, his bride, his church. Clean out your schedule, clean out your relationships, clean out your mind of any attitudes. They may or may not be sinful, but anything that slows you down in the race God has given us to run. He also talks about the sin that so easily entangles. Sin can feel like it's simplifying your life, but trust me, it complicates your life. Do a moral inventory. I know what you're thinking. Because a lot of the time I'm where you are, where someone says, hey, listen, do you have any sin in your life? And if you're like me, you sit there, you do a quick check. Nah, nothing I'm aware of, nothing too serious. If that's you, if it's, it may not be you, maybe the person next to you I'm talking to. If that's you, I was reminded of this verse. I think it was one of our readings in the book this week. The Bible says, in fact, it was a reading in our book this week. The Bible says, if we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You got any sin that might be entangling you? Oh, this is fun this morning. And the third thing we see from this verse, Hebrews 12:1, surrounded by a cloud of witness, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Hey, listen, team, God's got a race marked out for us. He's called, I think that the primary application of this is in Nairobi. He's called you and I, us, to do something. There's a race he's marked out. There's a lane for us. There's a start line and a finish line. He's called us one tribe to run for him in Nairobi. That's why we exist. And within that, you have a part to play in that race. And maybe it's signing up for Welcome next week, or for our kids' work, or maybe it's giving generally out of what God's given you at our gift day on the 2nd of December. Or maybe it's raising a child that you gave thanks for this morning. God's called you to something, a race he's marked out, and no one else can run your race. You've got to run it, and you can't run someone else's race. And one of the most important things that you and I can remember, one of the most important things that you and I can think about, is that in the midst of, see, in life, different people call you to run different races, and they bring these expectations. Your boss is expecting this from you. Your parents are expecting that from you. Your spouse might be expecting that from you. Your friends might be expecting that from you. But in the midst of all of that, I heard someone say this week, I never regret it when I get into a room by myself and I shout out loud, everyone shut up now except Jesus. And we need to do that so that we know what God has called us to. God hasn't called you to run someone else's race. He doesn't even want you and I to run our own race. He wants you and I to run the race he has called us to. So the first thing is to simplify our life by only running the race he's marked out for us and by throwing off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. The second thing we see in here is that we should not, I should not. Number two, don't get impatient or in a hurry. This race God has called us to run, it starts the day that you're born again, that you invite Jesus into your life, and your life comes under his management. He forgives your sin. He puts you in his family, and he says, now come follow me. From that day, our race of becoming more and more like Jesus lasts until, guess when? The day we die. This is a lifetime deal. And as Christians, often we can get very impatient with ourselves and with other Christians. Single people, you can cover your ears for a minute. But married people, have you ever thought about your spouse or said to your spouse, I wish you were a little bit more like Jesus? I think some guys are sitting there thinking, I've thought it, but if I had said it, I would not be sitting here today. Have you ever thought about yourself? Man, I'd have thought after following Jesus for this long, I'd be a little bit more like Jesus. You ever thought that about yourself? Don't get patient, don't get impatient or in a hurry. It's one thing I've learned. I'm 39, I turn 40 in January next year. And you know, there are a couple of phrases that you pick up over the years, and one that's really, really helped me in terms of this thing of being impatient. Someone said, you know, our generation, we're into microwaving, but God is into marinating. I don't know about you, but I put something in the microwave, I want it out in 30 seconds if possible. But marinating, it's a different affair. You get the spices together and you soak it overnight, and then you get it out in the morning, and it's kind of like the flavor has saturated every bit of that piece of meat, and I'm getting carried away right now. Timo, could you give me a hand over here? We're also into instant coffee. And you're not into instant coffee. Some of us are. But God is into a bit of a process. Could you pour this out and let that aroma fill the room? See, it's one of the reasons why you should sit in the first couple of rows. It's because you can smell the coffee. No, it's okay. Just leave it over there. Do you know what? Someone said, I can teach you how to become a man of God. I can teach you how to become a woman of God. But I can't teach you how to do it quickly. Because becoming like Jesus is a lifelong process. It's not instant. But it takes a while. And God is not in a hurry. Instant coffee is for people who are in a hurry. But God's not in a hurry when it comes to your becoming more and more like Jesus. Just very briefly, how are we doing? There are some things that happen instantly in our walk with Jesus. Listen to this. The day that you are born again, the day you become a follower of Jesus, and for some of you, that could be today, the day that you decide to follow Jesus, the Bible says that instantly you are completely forgiven of all of your sins, past, present, and get this, future. Not just that, but the moment you become a follower of Jesus, you become a son of God or a daughter of God at that moment. Those babies we're giving thanks for today, Zeke is completely a part of this family. It's not like Sam and Charles say to him, well, look, we somehow managed to sneak into this tribe, but we're going to watch how you do before we actually give you the family name. No, no, the moment he's born, he's as much a child of Sam and Sherilyn as any of their other children. And if he came to One Tribe today thinking, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're as much a son of God or a daughter of God as anyone else in this room. You are in. And if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, it's not because Jesus doesn't want you to be a follower of him. You can decide to follow him today. And instantly, your sins will be washed away. Our rebellion, saying, I'm going to do things my way, not God's way, God forgives us for that, places us in his family instantly. And so at One Tribe, our attitude is we try and be a bit like Jesus. Jesus said, I love you, so come as you are. But I love you too much to leave you the way you are. So come with me on a journey of becoming more and more like Jesus. Number three, spend time focusing on Jesus every day. Hebrews 12:2 says this. Hey, listen, team, we're in a race. This is like Olympic stakes, stadium full of witnesses. We're taking this seriously. We're throwing off sin and everything that hinders us. We're going to run this race with perseverance. This is a lifelong deal. And here's one supreme piece of advice as you run the Christian walk. If we're going to do this, we've got to fix our eyes on Jesus. And how do you do that practically? Well, a great way is to spend time focusing on Jesus every day. Hebrews 12:2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here's what I hope for you, friends. I hope that, listen, whatever you do, whatever you're up to, I want you to know that you're welcome at One Tribe. But I want God's best for you. And God's best for you isn't that you come here once a week and get a spiritual injection from the worship led so brilliantly as it was by the team today and Kogi and Kate. And a spiritual injection from the preaching. And you think, I'm good for another week. I'll come back next week for another jab. Can you imagine if we were a community of believers where every single day, every single one of us was fixing our eyes on Jesus by spending time focusing on Jesus every day? And listen, here's a tip. We're not necessarily talking about an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours every day. And some of you, if you're struggling to get regular time with Jesus, maybe because you've set the bar too high for yourself. And for some of us, even starting this week with 5 minutes every day, or 10 minutes, or 15 minutes, If you can get that with God, man, if you can get 2 minutes with God every day, if you're not getting that yet, that's massive improvement. 5, 10, 15 minutes a day. And here's what you do. You sit down with your Bible and you read your Bible for 5 minutes, and there are plans and apps that can help you do that. And after reading your Bible for just 5 minutes, you can talk to God for 5 minutes. Just tell him what's on your heart. God, I'm anxious about this. God, I'm upset about that. God, I'm concerned about this. Just maybe 5 minutes of that. Maybe 5 minutes of allowing God to speak to you. Prayer is a two-way thing. It's God speaking to us, and it's us speaking to God. If that isn't a regular part of your life, I want to challenge you. If you're on zero, Jesus loves you just the way you are. But man, if you can get up to 2 minutes a day, that's progress. 5 or 10 or 15. Jesus spent time with God every day. Luke 23:39. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And he was going there to pray. And as we focus on Jesus, we become more and more like him. Focus on Jesus. You know, it's a funny thing. Have you ever noticed that people become like who they are hanging around? Have you noticed that? And it's the way we're wired as human beings. Who we hang around, it affects the way we talk, it affects the way we think, it affects the way that we act. If I yawn now, some of you are wanting to yawn. Maybe it's because the sermon's boring, for which I apologize. But the way we're wired is when we see someone else yawn, it's like, oh, I want to yawn too. Anyone who's been through their teen years knows this. If you're here in your teens or in your university years, a great bit of advice I can give you, picked this up some time ago. One of the most important things you can know during your teen and student years, or if you're parenting a teen or a preteen, one of the most important things you can explain to them and teach them is that your friends will determine the quality and direction of your life. Have you found that? Your friends will determine the quality and direction of your life. Got that from a guy called Andy Stanley. Some of you are thinking, I need to ditch some of my friends. Maybe. That's not the primary thing I'm saying. The primary thing I'm saying is that when you spend time with Jesus, in his word, praying to him, you talk to him and he talks to you, you will become more like him. Don't just take my word for it. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Moses spent time with God, and the Bible says his face glowed. He was transformed by time with God. As you and I spend time with Jesus, we are transformed. We become more and more like God. I want to bring this to a close. I know we've only covered 3 things, but I think they're great things, and you can talk more about it in purpose groups. So if you're not in one, do get into one. But I've got time to say just one more thing, probably. I'm just trying to choose which one it is. Okay. It's this one. Let's go, slide team, let's go to number 7. I like that one, and if there's time, we may slip in number 8. So missed our 4, 5, and 6, for which I apologize. If you want to know what it says, I can sell you my sermon notes for a very, very small, no, I'm kidding. Number 7, take every step with purpose. Take every step with purpose. We're running a race, we're going to take every step with purpose. 1 Corinthians 9, the Apostle Paul said, hey, listen, I'll paraphrase here. When you become a follower of Jesus, you don't join the flower bed of God. You join the army of God. We're a people with purpose and discipline, the kind of discipline you would see from elite athletes. And in 1 Corinthians 9, here's what he said. Hey, listen, you know that everyone who competes in the games, and he wrote this to a people in a place called Corinth, and Corinth was known for its athletic games. They were the second biggest games after the Olympic Games of that time. He said, everyone who competes in those games goes into, do we have this verse up? Everyone who competes in these games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. He's saying, hey team, in our race to become like Jesus, the stakes aren't just for a gold medal at the Olympics and some great sponsorship deals. It's not just hundreds and thousands of dollars of money at stake. He said they do it to get a crown that will not last. We do it to get a crown that, get this, will last forever. And he says, because I get that, he says, you know what? Because of that, I don't run like a man running aimlessly. He says, no, I'm like a Kenyan marathon runner. I'm focused, and when I get started, I'm not going to stop. He says, I don't fight like a man beating the air. And people have said, what does he mean by that? And well, one way of training in those days was shadow boxing. Have you seen someone shadow boxing? It looks really good, but there's no actual opponent. And Paul was saying, if I'm competing in the greatest race that there ever was, I'm not going to train for it. Mixes metaphors. I'm not going to train for it by shadow boxing. That is insufficient preparation for what God has called me to do and the race he's called me to run. He says, I don't fight like a man beating the air. He goes on to say, man, I beat my body and I make it my slave. I was talking with someone here this morning about, we watched the rugby match last night. And here's a picture of, he's actually a Zimbabwean rugby player. But this is in the World Cup. This is before the World Cup final, on the way to the final. He's got these like black eyes from one of the preliminary games. And here's a guy who says, you know what, to win the Rugby World Cup, I'm willing to get a few black eyes. And friends, on the journey to becoming like Jesus, listen to me, you've got to be willing to get a few black eyes. There's a brand of Christianity today that says, if I hit opposition, oh, I'm no longer in the will of God. Have you met Christians like that? It's like, oh my goodness, I may actually have to pray and fast about this. Change of direction, I'll go the other way. Oh, they said that and it offended me. And so now I'm going to sulk until further notice. Friends, there's a Christianity like that, and it is not the Christianity of the Bible. It's a Christianity where we are disciplined and we go into strict training and we say, hey, listen, team, the stakes are high. The glory of God is at stake. People's eternal destinies are at stake. So, team, we're going to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And on that race and in preparing for it, we're going to get a few black eyes, and that's okay. Teaching of the New Testament is, hey, listen, don't be surprised if you get a few black eyes. Friends, I've been pastoring for 16 years, and over the last decade and a half, too often I've seen Christians get knocked out of their race because they didn't realize that if you get a few black eyes, it is par for the course. I know you've been rejected. I know you've been misunderstood. I know you've been let down. I know. If you think, I don't know, well, you may be, but God does know. And here's why this is so important. This is so important. Because as expressed by the great theologian Mike Tyson, everyone, next slide please. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Some of you have been punched in the mouth this week, this month, this year. And you may have had to adjust your plan as a result. What am I saying? Friends, I've taken hits, you've taken hits. It doesn't matter who's taken bigger hits. What matters is this. In Hebrews we see that the one who took the supreme hit for you and I was Jesus Christ, and he died on a cross. He was misunderstood. He was rejected. He was abandoned. He was let down. But the Bible says, for the joy set before him, for the prize that he was running for, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, And now he's seated at the right hand of God. And the Bible says, in a real sense, you and I are seated there right now with him. But not just that. He's calling you and I to become more and more like him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering. Let's stand, let's pray. Let's just take a moment right now. I wonder if we could have a keyboard up here. I just sense that God's Spirit is here and that he'd like to deal with some things. Just very briefly there, just two or three areas I feel that God wants us to pray into. The first area is, the Bible says, throw off the sin that entangles us. Man, if you're running the race to become like Jesus, you don't need sin entangling you. If we say we're without sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. So we're not going to drum anything up. We're just going to pray together. Holy Spirit, would you come right now? You know every man's heart, every woman's heart. And God, we pray that by your Spirit, you'd show us areas where we're entangled by sin. Jesus, you died to make us a people free from the power of sin. Well, by your Spirit this morning, would you show us sin that's still entangling us? And would you let freedom come in the name of Jesus? Let your kindness lead us to repentance. Would you change the way we think about you, the way we think about ourselves, the way we think about sin? Holy Spirit, we need you. Open our eyes so that we can see not just our sin, but the magnitude of what you did on the cross to deal with our sin. Second group of people I feel that God wants us to pray for is, if this is you, just own this in your heart, but this wasn't in my notes, but I just felt the Spirit impressing on me that there are people who've taken black eyes, who've taken hits in your walk with Jesus, a lot of them from believers, some of them from your biological family, people who raised you, you've taken hits. And that hit is affecting the way you are today, you know that. Friend, if that's you, Jesus wants you to be free. I see a picture in my mind of prison bars. Some of you have felt, I've been trapped by this thing for a long time. I can't get out. The Bible says Jesus came to set captives free. And so in the name of Jesus, we speak healing over every hurt represented in this room. Friend, if you've been hurt in another church, if you've been hurt in this church, would you bring it to Jesus right now? The Bible says a bruised reed Jesus doesn't break. A smoldering wick Jesus doesn't snuff out. If you're bruised and tender, just come to Jesus this morning. And we release healing into your heart, healing into your life, healing into your relationships. In the name of Jesus. And the last group we want to pray for is, if you heard me talking about becoming a follower of Jesus, there is nothing more important. there's nothing more important than who you decide to follow and give your life to. And Jesus is saying to you this morning, come follow me. And if that's you, I'd love you to come chat to me or to Sam who's on the keyboard or Kate and Kogi who are leading the meeting. Would you come and say, hey, I'd love to find out more about following Jesus and giving my life to him. And if you do that, we're going to pray for you. We're going to lead you in a prayer. But not just that, we've got an awesome gift to give you. It's a book written by a friend of ours. It's short but powerful about starting a relationship with Jesus. I want to give you that gift. And if that's you, please come to me, one of the leaders, or the information table afterwards. But God, those who you're calling to follow you this morning, God, would you help us to hear your voice? Help us to see that there is no one better to follow. There's no one kinder, no one more loving, no one as good as you. Jesus, we love you. We want to become like you. We pray for the help of your Spirit as we do that individually and corporately. And it's in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Friends, God bless you. Have an amazing week. If you're not yet in a purpose group, please get into one. And we have chai and mandazi downstairs. It's one of the most fun parts of our